Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
A couple of really good college games going on right now. Hour number two of the program here. Chris Thomas with you until 4 o'clock. Grant McCauley in from the Diamond comes your way then. Let's run through it real quick before I let you hear from Raheem Morris and our very own Matt Ryan also weighing in on that tough loss to the Steelers. Alabama's up 7-3, a long touchdown pass for the 17-year-old Ryan Williams, who's had a score in every game so far this season. That kid is going to be, and he's going to be there for a minute, too.
No, he's not. He's going to be there 3 years. Well, I mean, for a minute, right. But realize that kid should be a senior in high school. He should be playing last night.
Right. In 2024, that's a long time to be at a program. Yeah. So that's something special to watch there.
It's crazy.
Oklahoma State up 21-0 over Tulsa. Statement game there. Yeah, I saw a lot of people saying Tulsa may sneak in and punch this one out against Oklahoma State. But so far, he's a man and he's 40. Well, he's actually about 55 now. But that's not going down with Okie State at Tulsa. And then the big one, South Carolina now up 10-0 into the second quarter over LSU. Wow. Okay. I mean, if LSU loses this one now, I mean, I don't see them overcoming it. South Carolina's good. If they beat LSU, they'll be ranked next week. But, not exactly the start to the season that the Brian Kelly-led Tigers are looking for. We obviously know the Falcons didn't get off to the start that they're looking for. Raheem Morris first up talking about when you go up against a guy like Watt and guys like Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis and Chris Jones and Cam Jordan and DeMario Davis, it's not just Caleb McGarry's job to make sure that he's not doing what he did and wrecking the game. But Raheem says it's everybody on offense.
When you're talking about a guy like TJ, you're not talking just to Caleb. You're talking about the whole rim of it all. The slide to him, the execution of the chip game, the execution on how you want to pay attention to this guy, the reason you may not do certain play actions versus this guy to leave somebody in a one-on-one situation. You know, you got to be ready to deal with your cadence and your snap count. You got to do everything imaginable to try to get him off of his game. And the first drive, we were able to do that. We were able to do that in a two-minute drive. And then he kind of got a hold of us. Made some plays happen. They tightened up in the run game, was able to lock us down there a little bit later in the game, and they put us in some unfavorable situations, which really favor him when you're talking about those extra long situations, those get back on tracks.
Okay, coach, yes, but where were the adjustments? I mean, why didn't you do more chipping with somebody not named Kyle Pitts? Put an extra offensive lineman in there. Put Charlie Warner in there. Put Ross Dwelly in there. Hell, put Algier in there. I mean, he's a big guy. He could take on some of that meat from TJ Watt. I mean, come on. Where was the adjustments? That's why Zach Robinson is facing so much heat this week. Where were the adjustments? Next up from Coach, he says, plain and simple, the offense wasn't good enough.
The assessment is easy for him yesterday. You know, it wasn't good enough. You know, we threw two interceptions. We got to make better decisions in the passing game all around. We can't turn the ball over to allow our defense to go out there and get some big stops for us, which they did. But, you know, it just wasn't good enough. And we're going to be really clear about that. Whether it's wins or losses, we always make those assessments to our quarterback and to everybody else. It's just the quarterback will get the most attention at all times, along with me. So we know that. We've addressed that today. And our guys will go out there and they'll come back better.
I mean, that's all you can do. But at the same time, I really hope – we've been saying it all week. What's the cliche? In the lab. That they were in the lab making it known that they needed to make dramatic improvements over the game plan from week one. It just wasn't good enough. Nowhere near good enough. And if you want to, man, you know, the Eagles present such a different challenge than the Steelers did, right? because not only do they have a really good defense, but their offense is better than their defense. They got all those weapons we named, the three wide receivers, Goddard at tight end, Saquon Barkley in the backfield. Like, they are loaded for bear. And if Hurts is on and he can beat you with his legs too, I mean, forget it. So you're not going to get, most likely, I should say, you're not going to give up 18 points to the Eagles. It's going to be at least in the mid to late 20s. So you got to score. You got to score. Like, you got to triple, quadruple your offensive output from week one. And I'm just not convinced that they're going to be able to do that. It's all on hope at this point. Speaking of which, Raheem was talking about the challenges that the Eagles present to the Falcons.
It's just really the whole offense when you look at those guys, right? You're talking about a bunch of superstars across the board, the Slim Reaper, A.J. Brown. You got Saquon out there. They just traded for Dotson. They got a bunch of guys out there. They got the biggest offensive line in the history of the game. You know, they got a brand new center, and it's going to create a really challenge for us. And Hurts was the run-up in MVP just a year ago, whatever the case may be. So they got a good offense. So we got to get up in the lab right now, and that's what today and tomorrow is about.
Yeah, you hear that phrase? There it is. Getting in the lab. That's going to be the phrase for all the Falcons' adjustments this season. What about, this is interesting. So when Zach Robinson and the Falcons' offense got into a jam, what do you do? Well, whatever they didn't work, but this is what Raheem had to say about the adjustments.
It's extremely difficult for a play caller when you shoot yourself in the foot with the penalties and you get thrown off track, because you got to find that play to get you back on, and if you don't get a chance to get that rhythm, that's going to be tough. And really, less about the play caller, more about the opportunistic defense that the Pittsburgh Steelers are and have been. You know, I played a bunch of games against those guys, and they all eerily feel the same, that they just stay right into it to the end of the game so they can have a chance to win.
I mean, I don't like the way that sounded. Do you? I mean, to me, that sort of sounded like, nah, they just sort of whooped us, and that's what it was. Coach, I mean, where are the adjustments? What are you going to do? What if it's 17-3 at halftime against Philly? What are you going to do? Because it's on the table. I'm telling you right now. All right, plain and simple, simply put, Coach Kirk, is he healthy?
I feel like Kirk is healthy. He's been healthy since he's been here, since he's been back. Obviously, the restriction that we had on him early, just like I talked about throughout, you're not being obstinate either. We had the restrictions we obviously put on him when he first got here, being smart with the OTA days. Obviously, when we came back to training camp, he was full go and be able to move. Other than the scrambles and some of those things, we limited. You know, towards the end of training camp, we allowed those things to happen, got him ready to go. We got into a game yesterday, and we got to get better.
Yeah, I think what I've landed on after sitting on this all week and filling in on Dukes and Bell is there's a difference between healthy and 100% healthy. And that's just where Kirk Cousins is right now. We're never going to get an exact percentage because they're not going to tell you that, because why would they? All that does is tip the hand to the defense about the game plan. So I get it. But is Kirk healthy? Technically. Is he cleared? Technically. But is he 100%? I think the answer to that question is no. One more on TJ Watt from Coach, talking about picking apart their tendencies, and this is exactly what you can't have happen when you face the Eagles' interior defensive line, then Chris Jones, then Cam Jordan.
You know, it's less about us, it's more about TJ. You know, TJ is a great player in this league, and he gets tendencies on everybody. And if you do it long enough and you go out there and play against a guy at that caliber that's that good, they're going to find a way to wreck the game. And we were trying to limit that as much as possible. You know, when he jumped the gun and got offsides one time and got the sack, and then we got the illegal contact on one that was allowing him to wreck the game, he made the play on the fumble when it was down on the ground. But he is a phenomenal football player, and he is always going to have things and different elements to the game. I've only been around a few guys like him in my career. Warren Sapp, you know, Aaron Donald, and those kind of guys that find a way to wreck the game. And he was certainly one of them, and he is a guy that can definitely find things within the game and before it.
Well, Coach, sorry to break it to you, but Chris Jones is one of those players. Cam Jordan's one of those players. Demario Davis is one of those players. Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis are trying to become those type of players. So, yeah, but You're not out of the woods yet, my friend. Not even close. All right, before we get out of here, Matt Ryan also weighed in on CBS Sports. He says, the whole question of rest versus rust, he has an opinion.
In Atlanta, the problem is they're going against, you know, Pittsburgh's defense week one. You've got a first-time play caller in Zach Robinson, I think kind of getting a feel for the talent that's around him, understanding what the offensive line is doing. That offensive line, to me, is best when they're running the football, right? When they're effective running the football, they can get into that play-action pass game, which they didn't do much of yesterday. So, you know, the inability to establish the run, I think, kind of set things out of rhythm for them and put them in a spot that they didn't want to be. And then, you know, quite frankly, I think they all looked a little bit rusty.
And that's what Raheem Morris said as well. But a little bit of controversy here because Kirk Cousins went on Rich Eisen's show and said rust was not a factor. So is it rust or is it not rust? What are we doing here?
I ain't worried about the rust. I just go back to what Coach Rob was saying about T.J. Watt and the fact that if the Falcons would have drafted better 7 years ago, T.J. Watt could have been wearing the Falcons uniform for the last 7 years.
Yeah, but you say the same thing about, you know, you could have had Penei Sewell, you could have had this guy, that guy. I mean,
even with not getting Penei Sewell, the guy we took instead of Penei Sewell is currently on the roster and currently contributing. The guy that we took the year T.J. Watt was drafted isn't even in football anymore, buddy. He's not even on a roster anywhere.
No, you're right.
And he completely was a bust.
You're right. But we can't think about it like that anymore. It's just, it is what it is.
I do. I still do.
Yeah, you can. You can, sure, if you'd like. All right, one more from Matt Ryan before we get out of here. He just simply says the Falcons were out of sync.
Not only him, but I thought the entire offense looked out of sync. And that's, you know, partially due to the fact these guys didn't play much in the preseason. And I know that's kind of the way everybody has gone in the NFL.
You don't say, Maddie.
There's this idea that, you know, it's not worth the risk of playing guys, getting somebody injured in the preseason. But, it wasn't just Atlanta. I think you look across the league, I thought offenses were pretty sloppy yesterday.
Yeah, but there are teams that didn't play in the preseason that were fine, and there were also teams that played in the preseason that weren't fine. But when you look at it, you know, if Pat Mahomes, who's the gold standard in the NFL, if he plays in the preseason and he feels it's necessary, and Kirk goes to Ra and says, hey, I want to do what Mahomes is doing, and he says no, okay, these are the results you have to live with. Can we say it's a direct correlation? No, that's not fair to do. But could it have helped? Potentially. Maybe. We'll never know, though. All right. When we get back, had a chance to catch up with one of the best in the biz, our buddy, Bryant McFadden from All Things Covered and CBS NFL. What does he think about what happened to the Falcons? Plus, we preview all the biggest headlines and games coming up this weekend. You don't want to miss that conversation coming up next. Chris Thomas with you till 4, Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Anyway, let's talk some more NFL with our man, Bryant McFadden, one of the best podcasts out there, guys, All Things Covered. Yeah, him and Patrick Peterson from time to time, and CBS NFL analyst. He joins us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. BMAC, we'll start with last night. We'll get to the Falcons in a second. I mean, what do you do if you're Tua? I mean, do you have to wear, like, the big, giant protective thing on the helmet now and be the only guy wearing that in the league?
Well, he won't be the only guy wearing that mushroom.
Right.
I think Jonathan Taylor is wearing that mushroom also.
Mm.
But at this stage in Tua's career, he is going to have to make some tough decisions. And the unlikely, unfortunate part for Tua, anytime he's concussed, we all see it because it's been on the national stage. Like, if this was a regional broadcast, you hear about it, you see it after the fact, you feel some type of way, but it hits differently when you see it live and in color.
Right.
Like we've seen with him. And I'm not here to tell Tua he should never play the game of football anymore. I'm not here to tell Tua he should play the game. Continue. It's up to him and his family and whoever's close to him to make that decision. But I can tell you this much. If he was to continue to play, the written rule for him should always be to slide, never embark in forced contact down the football field as a runner. And secondly, you got to wear that mushroom. You got to wear that ugly mushroom cap over your helmet to protect yourself by any means necessary.
Mm.
B, when it comes to the actual future of the Dolphins now, presumably he'll be out at least a couple weeks. You know, that's a team that has high playoff, if not Super Bowl aspirations. What do they do? Do they have to go get somebody, or do they roll with what they have?
I think for the short term, you got to roll with what you have, because if you go get an outsider, the likelihood of them understanding this playbook and being acclimated to the offense to be able to jump into the lineup immediately is not likely. You know, Skylar Thompson is a guy who's been around their program for quite some time. He played in the playoff game some years ago against Buffalo. So he understands the system. The good part for Miami is their schedule. I know their next ball game is, you know, over a week away.
Mm-hmm.
And they travel to Seattle. And then after Seattle, they have Tennessee and they have some other teams. But if you look at the next few games before they get to their bye, all of those teams did not make the playoffs a year ago, right? And most of those teams are still trying to figure things out. So those are winnable matchups, even without Tua Tagovailoa. And I think, guys, that bye week, which is week six, is very, very important, because if you can kind of take care of your business presumably without Tua leading up to that bye week, and if he's able to get back into the lineup after that bye week, you still have an opportunity to achieve everything you wanted to achieve, most importantly, trying to push to get in the playoff spot at the end of the season.
You know, Bryant, we were talking about this earlier. I don't understand, you know, I get it. Nobody likes Thursday night games, and sometimes you come out flat. But the Dolphins, I mean, that's a team that's owned them. How do they not get up for Buffalo? And then there was no sense of urgency before the half. You know, when you had the basically 3 minutes and you're down 17, and Coach Bra is just kind of slow rolling it. I'm not impressed with that offense, man. They did kind of grind to a halt last year.
Well, the thing about the lackluster start, Mike, Chris, that's all on coaching. That's all on coaching. As coaches, you have to get your guys prepared, not just physically but mentally as well. Especially when you talk about coming on a short week, being on a short week, but you're playing against a division of four who have owned you.
Right.
Josh Allen has owned Miami. The entire Buffalo Bills under Sean McDermott, they've owned you. This is an opportunity to jumpstart a real good year, being 2-0 and being 1-0 in your division against one of your arch rivals in your division. That's on coaching. Like, people scold me when I was giving my predictions for Buffalo, because I said Buffalo would make the playoffs. I had Miami not making the playoffs. And they scolded me when I said Buffalo has the best quarterback in the NFC East and the best head coach. What are you talking about, B-Mac? I said, you're not taking any other coach in the AFC East over Sean McDermott. And you're not taking any other quarterback over Josh Allen. And Sean McDermott showcased his coaching method, being able to get the best out of his team and being able to be ready to go like that was a playoff game and nothing else mattered. Secondly, to your question about, you know, the offensive scheme for Miami, the reason why it fizzles out is because they try to trick you.
Mm-hmm.
They have so much misdirection involved in everything they do when it comes to the running game, which can be very, very successful. But what happens when defenses make the adjustments to kind of understand what you're doing in the fourth quarter and you can't trick anybody anymore? Well, when that happens, your offense becomes stagnant because they can't run the football downhill. When you have a running game that goes downhill, it's about being playing tougher for longer. And that's what Buffalo has success in doing. They ran the football downhill against Miami. They didn't try to trick them. They were successful, and they were able to sustain that production because it wasn't about trying to outsmart you. It was just being the more physical, dominant team, which provides for longer success.
All right, B-Mac, we spent the entire week here in Atlanta talking about pistol formations, shotgun sets, play action passing. What did you see from Kirk Cousins in the Atlanta Falcons offense, and is it something that can be corrected on Monday night?
I just saw my Pittsburgh Steelers. As they, what the song say, walk into your trap and take your trap. Mm-hmm. They walked into the Mercedes-Benz Dome, turned it into Akershire Stadium, which is the name of the Pittsburgh Steelers Stadium in Pittsburgh, and just dominated. I told you guys what was going to happen and how it was going to happen, and y'all laughed at me. But every now and then I know what I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. I know a little bit of ball. But to your question, Chris, what I saw from Kirk Cousins, what I saw from the offense in totality, was an offense that wasn't ready to go. And Mike, Chris, you remember leading up to the ball game when we was in the preseason. I asked the question, why are we not seeing Kirk Cousins and Atlanta Falcons ones play in the preseason?
Right.
That didn't make any sense for me. Because if you have a new offense under new coaching with a new quarterback, one would think you want to see exactly what it looks like against an opposing team in a game-like action, a game-like situation. Joint practices are not the same as preseason games. They're not. They're different. So what happened was week one last week for Atlanta was like week one in the preseason. That's how it looked. That's how it looked. And that's why you might see more struggles again, because when teams don't put their starters out there in preseason, especially starters that have been a part of this organization for quite some time, usually the regular season is when they gather and establish their chemistry. And that's what we saw. Pittsburgh had their defense playing in the preseason. Pittsburgh had their offense playing in the preseason. Atlanta did not. You look at the teams that have been successful in week one. Chris, Mike, look at the teams that won ball games. Most of those teams played their starters in the preseason. The Jets didn't play Aaron Rodgers in the offense in the preseason. Look how slow and sluggish they look. Look at their defense. So I think some of the issues that we saw from Kirk Cousins was more about them not being game ready because they didn't do anything in the preseason.
That's a great point. As Brian McFadden joins us, guys, on the WaitForIt.com hotline from the podcast, guys, All Things Covered from CBS. We said it on Monday. I mean, this is a first time ever offensive coordinator in Zach Robinson, who we thought it was going to be play action pass, and Kirk Cousins doing what he's done the last 12 years. They've got him in the pistol, the shotgun thing. He's a fish out of water there, and they seem like they're committed to it. They've been on this concept since April, which we saw some of it at camp, but nobody who watched this team in person in camp thought this is what the offense is going to look like. And it sounds like they're going to run this thing up to Philly on Monday night, which is scary.
Listen, no question. That's why Sunday was so important for Atlanta, guys. Sunday was super important. I was working CBS Sports HQ, and I said one of the more disappointing losses in week one was Atlanta losing to Pittsburgh. And the reason why I said that, guys, is because you lost a winnable ball game at home, and you lost to a team that didn't score one touchdown at home. That's not supposed to happen. So when you lose that way, it does something to the morale, because that was a winning game. If we talked last week leading up to that ball game, if I said Pittsburgh won't score a touchdown, they're going to kick off field goals, right, you guys would have said, well, there's a 90% chance Atlanta's going to win that ball game, right or wrong?
Take that bet all day long. Yes, sir.
Exactly. But you lost. So you lost to a team that didn't score a touchdown, and now your next two ball games, you travel on the road to Philly, and you play Kansas City at home. If you're not careful, you can start off 0-3.
Right. No, it's a reality.
After that Kansas City game,
right,
you got New Orleans.
So let me ask you this then, B-Mac. Let's get down to brass tacks here. Do the Falcons have enough at the cornerback position to withstand that three-headed monster at wide receiver that the Eagles possess?
No. The thing that the Falcons need, they need miscues from Philly to be able to pull a huge win out of the back. And the issue with that being said is that we saw a horrible ball game by Jalen Hurts. Jalen Hurts had three costly turnovers, two turnovers that happened in the red zone for the Green Bay Packers, and they still put up 30-plus points against Green Bay. Think about that. They put up 34 points, and he had three turnovers.
Right.
The sloppiest we've seen from Jalen Hurts. That tells you how prolific their offense is. So for Atlanta, And Green Bay is a playoff caliber team. Now, I don't know how they're going to look without Jordan Love, but with Jordan Love, that's a playoff caliber team. So for Atlanta, to your question, no, they don't have enough. Because factor in this, A.J. Brown, straight dog. Smitty, Devontae Smith, wide receiver one, beat. And Saquon, who's just an ultimate playmaker for that offense, there's so much you have to worry about. So for Atlanta, and I love what I saw from Atlanta's defense last week, they played great football. They played winning football. But the offense they played Sunday, it's a JV compared to the offense they're going to see Monday night, which is a varsity.
Right. Well, that's just it. They had Fields basically doing the bare minimum. Arthur Smith, you know, it was last minute. They thought that Russell may give it a go. And at least for this week, it will be Justin Fields once again for the Steelers. But you're right, man. Look, the turnovers, we never got to get things rolling because Cousins threw two terrible picks. That's what's even worse, Bryant, because if you throw in the turnover where they snap into the motion, man, I could have had Michael Penix Jr. do the same thing. You know, a rookie could have done that same effort, basically.
Don't start that. It's too soon. Don't you start that. Don't you start being controversial. Don't you start that by quarterback controversial.
Right.
I know they was already probably calling for Penix in the dome on Sunday. Don't you start that.
Well, brother, it was, yes. We knew exactly what it was going to be. You know, T.J. Watt, yeah, just feasting. Once we went to silent count, it was like he was in the backfield. I mean, it was so predictable. And the Steelers fans obviously got going, so we kind of knew that was coming. Now you go to one of the most difficult environments on the road in the NFL in Philly, and Bryant does not have a lot of confidence in the Falcons. So on that note, hey, oh, by the way, I'm going down to Tally this weekend, so I'm going to go down there and kick some butt and see what the hell's going on down there.
Oh, no question, as you should. As you should. But for Atlanta, there's a will, there's a way Monday night.
All
but
right.
It's super important because you start off 0-2. You got Money Pack coming in town week 3.
Mm-hmm.
That 0-3 start, that's nothing ideal when you have playoff aspirations like the Falcons do.
Right. Well, we always knew this first quarter of the season was going to be a beast. Just didn't think we were going to, no offense to your Steelers, didn't think we were going to lose to those guys. All right, Brian, have a great weekend, man. What's up on the podcast, by the way?
Just dropped an episode with Super Bowl MVP, 43 MVP, and Santonio Holmes. Talking about his career, talking about what he's doing, what he's up to right now. Of course, Ohio State Buckeye legend as well. Talked about that infamous, one of the more celebrating plays in Super Bowl history, his catch for Big Ben that won our sixth Sticky Lombardi for the organization. Yeah. Great candid conversation, man. Santonio Holmes is our most recent guest on our episode.
All right, man, check it out. All things covered. That's our man, Brian McFadden, a proud Steeler, as you know, two-time Super Bowl winner, and a proud Knoll, although there's not much to be proud about right now. All right, big man, there's Brian McFadden on the WadeFord.com hotline.
Yeah, Brian said it best. Can't start 0-3 with the Saints looming. Yeah, that's exactly what I've been saying all afternoon, too. Great to catch up with our buddy B-Mac, his weekly visit with Dukes and Bell on Fridays. But since I was filling in for Carl Dukes, I got to bring it back for you today in case you didn't hear it. All right, coming up next hour as well, we got a loaded 2 o'clock hour. We got Connor Riley at 2:20. He's going to break down everything Georgia. You're going to hear from Matthew Judon. Had a chance to interview him as well at Flowery Branch on Thursday. And we're going to get into some baseball as well. But when we get back, not one, not two, not three, not four, but five college football true and false questions from our man E. Could he have a question about the Dogs? Only time will tell. And that time's about 5 minutes. So stay with me right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. Darn right it is a good day to have a great day. We got college football all night long. Some good ones early. Run through the scoreboard for you real quick before we get to E and some true and false. Alabama starting to heat up a little bit, man. Now they're now up 21-3. Wisconsin minus Tyler Van Dyke. He was taken out of the game early. I'll give you an update on him when I see one. Okie State is up big 28-0 on Tulsa. Great game. LSU, they're down 24-10 to South Carolina. The surging Gamecocks. Big day on the ground. Their running back has two scores. Michigan's taking care of business 21-3. And then how about the Fighting Bill O'Briens? Boston College up 14-3 with about 9 minutes left in the second quarter over Mizzou. That's just a 12 o'clock window. We still got the 3:30 window. We still got the Dogs. I mean, again, E, I think my number was 7 minutes is what you'll need to watch of that game tonight because they're going to be up 21-0 before you know it. And then a couple of big ones at night for you as well. Ole Miss and Wake Forest. Don't sleep on that game. I took Ole Miss to cover, but Wake Forest, nah, they're not going to give them any problems. I'm hyping it up because I took Ole Miss to cover that one. Texas is going to be up big against UTSA. John Fricke's Nebraska is 2-0 with Dylan Raiola. And then Tennessee at 7:45. You'll probably see Nico for about a half, and then they'll pull him because they're taking on a Kent State team that lost to St. Francis last week. I mean, yikes. So that's what's coming up later on in the day as well. We'll see if Notre Dame can bounce back. They got a big one versus Purdue in the 3:30 slot. So a great day. It is raining outside. It is nasty, gnarly, humid, all of those things. So we are sitting back in our recliners today. I'm talking to you guys on the radio. And, of course, you got me on as you are watching and listening to the sounds and the sights and the sounds of college football. With that said, we got 5 true and false college questions coming your way right now.
It's time for 5 true or false questions on the other side of the glass. Which teams in the ATL will thrive? Which teams will make you scratch your head? On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
All righty. As you said, a gloomy day out here. Great day to talk college football. Great day to watch college football. And with our first edition this season of College Football, True or False, let's start locally. Over on the flats with our Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets. So true or false, Chris? Just plain and simple. Georgia Tech was overrated after 2 games when they went up to Syracuse last week.
True. Can't lose to Syracuse, man. Although, I will say this. Kyle McCord. Where did that come from? Dude's having, like, an MVP caliber season so far.
I mean, when you leave Ohio State as a quarterback, you just go other places and shine. I mean, that's just going to show you how stiff the competition is up there in Columbus to be the starting quarterback for the Buckeyes. Yeah. Because they send guys who become the first pick in the NFL draft away.
Exactly.
So, I mean, it could be another one right here.
And he looks like he is going to have an absolute stellar season. I mean, that's the best quarterback play they've had since Donovan? Probably, right? Yeah. I mean, I can't think of anybody else, really.
The Falcons once drafted a Syracuse quarterback like in the 7th round. I can't remember his name. But, yeah, no, they're looking good.
Yeah, it's unfortunate for Georgia Tech because they were on to something there for a hot minute. But I don't think that's a loss that you're really going to overcome in terms of, like, they could still have a great – and I think they will still have a great season. But if you went 3-0, 4-0, 5-0, like, if you started to really rally – I thought it could have been a special season. Now, it'll just be a good season, which is fine.
Well, I mean, they have some chances left. They still got a big one against Notre Dame. They still got a big one against North Carolina
and
Miami.
And that Notre Dame one looks more winnable now.
Doesn't it? Well, you know.
The Miami one. They got Louisville.
Yeah. No, but, you know, we'll see. They'll get back on the right ship today. And then maybe they can keep riding that momentum. We'll see what happens. It was a long ride up there to where, you know, Syracuse, that city northwest New York.
Did you say ride? They
fly.
Definitely didn't.
Yeah, well, you know,
well, they definitely didn't take a bus because that would have taken
a long flight.
That's about as north as you can get
without being in Canada.
Yeah, without being. It's close.
All right, keep it going here on True or False, and you kind of teed it up, brother. Notre Dame. Notre Dame, true or false, they just overlooked New Illinois. They just overlooked them, figured that there would be an easy win coming into our house, and ended up getting their feelings hurt.
False. They're just not that good. Riley Leonard, what happened? He got injured and now he can't play anymore?
Hey, I don't know, man.
He didn't throw a touchdown pass.
Coach Freeman, you gotta get these boys back on track. I was riding the Fighting Irish train. I was choo-choo, all aboard Fighting Irish going to the playoffs. I was right there with them.
Is he overrated?
And Coach Freeman?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's overrated. I mean, he's only a third-year head coach? I mean, he needs some time. I love him as a enthusiastic guy. The players love him. He just got to find time to build that program into what he wants.
He's also easily the best-looking coach in college football. Easily.
He's a handsome guy. I won't leave you out there on that limb by yourself. And he's in shape. My God, the boy looks like he can play in the NFL.
He has, like,
workout videos.
That dude is living like a Disney movie Because he has, like, the most gorgeous family you've ever seen.
He gets up at 5 a.m.
Yeah, exactly.
Goes to the office, works out, out of that big, beautiful house he has there in South Bend. And that, you know, what's he got, like, an Escalade all pimped out or something like that? That ride. I saw the documentary. Yeah,
he's got a beautiful wife, life, beautiful kids. Life, yeah, he is. Life. But.
And then walks out of his office looking over the Golden Dome.
And that, but.
Gotta win,
Gotta win games. You can't lose that way.
They will run him out of town real fast.
I think they're done. I think they're out of the playoff picture already.
I was listening to Fricky earlier today, getting ready to come in here, and I think both him and Chris said they've got to run the table if they have any chance. Got to run the table. That means they got to beat USC. They got to beat all their ACC opponents. They got to run the table. Going to be a tough one. But I'm still pulling for them. I've been a Fighting Irish fan for a long time, only because when I grew up, you saw them on TV. Before there was 20 ESPNs and streaming services, you knew every Saturday afternoon you turned on NBC, there was
Growing up where we grew up in the Northeast, college football is just not.
Nope, was not a big deal.
I mean, Maryland was probably meh when you were
growing up. I didn't
know
they had a college football team. Yeah, I didn't even know.
I grew up, Rutgers had one good year my junior year in college with Ray Rice and Greg Schiano. Mm-hmm. Other than that, man,
it was in the Maryland area. Penn State, they got a big following. And other than that, we wait for football season and basketball season. For NFL season, I mean. So, there it is. All right, keep going here on this week's edition of True and False College Football Style. I'm going to save these last two for last. The last two are kind of little tough ones. I'm gonna go to this right here. Billy Napier says that he's going to go back to Graham Mertz as a starting quarterback. So, true and false. Billy Napier is just an idiot.
I don't know about idiot, but is he a good football coach? But I did see that DJ Lagway is supposed to get in, maybe in a similar fashion that we were hearing about packages for Justin Fields if Russell Wilson didn't get hurt again. Yeah, man, it's just a sad sight down there because that's a program that needs to be good for college football.
It's a program that college football is a lot of fun when Florida's putting up big points.
Exactly. Like when they're good, it's good for college football. Yep. So for the fact that Florida and Florida State this year are just so bad. I mean, Miami's really holding the water. If you're watching this Florida State game today, DJU threw one of the worst interceptions I've ever seen in my entire life. He literally telegraphed it to the defender in between two guys trying to find his guy who was all the way on the left side of the formation. And he was coming back over the middle trying to make the play. And there were two Memphis Tiger defenders lining up in the exact sightline trajectory when he threw the ball. And he threw it into the breadbasket of the defender. It's like, bro, you're down 10-3 to Memphis at half? Mike Bell's crying in his beer somewhere. I know that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a sad state. I think the best team in Florida might be Florida International. Who knows? We'll see. But
FIU,
man,
you
know,
pause up.
Yeah, I'll tell you. I said he's an idiot. You just say he's a bad football coach.
I just think he's a bad football coach.
Bad football coach. Yes, indeed. He's I say he's both. All right, keep it going here. Okay. These last two, true or false, a little closer to home. I have to ask it. I got to do my journalism here. I got to ask these tough questions, sir. True or false? University of Georgia has a culture problem.
True.
Another speeding ticket?
Yeah, nobody. We'll talk to Connor Riley about this at 2:20.
Another speeding ticket? Come on!
You can't. It's really hard to criticize Kirby Smart because everything he touches turns to gold. He's been the best recruiter. He's been the best game day coach. He's been the best, you name it, over the last 5-6 years now.
But does he need to start collecting car keys?
He needs to start kicking people out of the program.
Something.
I think the only way, because clearly nothing's worked, so the only way that this is going to be resolved is if you start taking people's scholarships and jerseys away. And you need to set the tone by, if Trevor Etienne, somebody of that caliber, does it again, you're gone. I don't care how good you are.
Right.
That's the level of punishment and discipline that needs to be handed down. Because you know what? You'll still get another 5-star. Mm-hmm. You'll replace him in 5 minutes.
There was a precedent set back in the Mark Richt era. The number one running back out of the country came to Georgia. got caught with a firearm, I believe. He kicked him off the team, ended up at Alabama State, got into the NFL still with the Cleveland Browns. His name's slipping me right now, but he was the number one running back in the country, and he kicked him right off the team. So,
oh, Isaiah Crowell?
What? Look, hey, yeah. Ding, 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 ding. That was it. Yeah, man, how'd you pull that one out the hat?
Because
yeah.
he was a Jet.
Well, yes, he was a Jet. That's right. Yeah, but yeah, Isaiah Crowell was the number one running back in the country. Got UGA, had a great freshman year, had a bad offseason. Mark didn't hesitate to release him. So it's been done before. It needs to be done again. And, I mean, how do you do 106 miles an hour in a Grand Cherokee? I didn't know Jeep Cherokees could go over 100 miles an hour. That's
yeah, I mean, and he wasn't wearing a seatbelt, and he was switching lanes in the rain. I mean, it just got – I mean, listen, I have no doubt in my mind, let me make this very clear, that Kirby does, outside of suspensions and cutting, everything he can – from a preventative standpoint, meaning bringing people in.
Oh, yeah, he's meetings. Had more people talk to them than what do I do next?
I have no doubt about that whatsoever. But the bottom line is, it's not working.
Not working. All right, we'll try to finish it up. It's still SEC, but, you know, Georgia in mind when I wrote this question. But true or false, no SEC team goes undefeated.
I think Texas could do it.
That means they beat Georgia.
Right.
In Austin.
That's
in 4 weeks.
That's the difference. If it was in Athens.
How dare you say that, Chris?
Well, I
had to put you on the spot.
I'm paid to give my opinion.
I'm paid to ask you the tough questions.
Yeah. I don't think it's going to be Georgia. They can't. Listen, if they. Let me say this. If they beat the gauntlet of Bama and Texas.
Both on the road.
They're your national. Like, that's it. They're winning it all, and it probably won't be particularly close. I think they're going to lose one of those games. I don't know which one it's going to be, but I would give Texas the best shot to do it.
They look really good. Look really good, and that game's in Austin. I got some family in Texas, and they're already talking smack to me. And my niece that lives down there says, you know, still wants to come to University of Georgia. But, it's going to be a big game. The fact that Texas and Oklahoma in the SEC right now, and all my family lives in that area, some are Oklahoma fans, some are Texas fans, they are loving this.
Now, I think Georgia can do it.
Yeah.
I think they can.
Oh, absolutely.
But it's, I mean, the odds are.
I think the winner of that, I think you're absolutely correct. The winner of that game really has a great chance at it.
Yeah.
Really has a great chance.
And everyone else, I don't see it. Even though Alabama's looking good right now, they're going to get tripped up at some point. All right, E, great job on the 5 true or false. We'll get a six-pack in later, because of course we will. If I'm on the air on the weekends, you know we're doing a producer six-pack. When we get back, here's a treat. Got to catch up with Matthew Judon, myself and Mike Bell, on Thursday. Going to run that back for you in case you didn't get a chance to hear it on Thursday. He was really great. As soon as the interview ended, I turned to Mike Bell and I said, that guy's got a career in media coming his way when he's done playing. So you definitely want to stick around and hear his answers about what went wrong and what they're looking to do right versus Philly on Monday. Our conversation with Matthew Judon coming up next.